Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. Joining us as always, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com, Andrew Malcolm at H Malcolm on Twitter / X or whatever we're calling it this week. Elon Musk's playground.
Yeah, right. Exactly. It'll always be Twitter to me.
It's always Twitter to me too. But then again, I'm Statler to your Waldorf, or I'm Waldorf to your Statler. I still haven't figured out which is which. So yeah, we're curmudgeons. That's what we do. We're curmudgeons. And this is what curmudgeons do.
Don't you just hate that he calls it X?
Yes, Andy.
Yeah, he spent $44 billion on it. I guess he can call it whatever the hell he wants. So there you go. I gotta, we're going to get into some serious topics today, and we've already kind of outlined a couple of them. We're going to talk about your excellent column too, but did you see the thing today with Donald Trump and the DoorDash delivery at the Oval Office?
I heard about it. I didn't see it. Yeah.
Classic Trump. He was having a great time. He called a presser to be outside the Oval Office, which is an unusual spot for it. And it was sort of a sudden thing. It was ad hoc. All of a sudden, the pool was told, you guys need to be there. And, you know, with Trump, that's not terribly unusual, but it was an unusual request. And I think everybody figured it was something to do with the war. And there was something that he wanted to say about that. But basically, they all got there when the DoorDash, at least this is the way it looks. They all got there when the DoorDash woman got there. And she had a DoorDash grandma t-shirt on, right? And she's delivering McDonald's to the Oval Office. And the reporters are there. And so she's chatting with Trump for a moment. And then he gets her involved talking to the reporters. And he's asking her, did you vote for me? And she's, maybe. Wanted to know her opinion on men competing in women's sports. And she was like, I really don't have an opinion on that. I'm just really here to talk about no taxes on tips. And that was what the whole thing was, right? Is he wanted to highlight the no taxes on tips thing because he wants to talk about the economy. But she was a pretty good sport. I don't know how, excited she was to be participating in whatever this was. But she was a good sport. She talked about a book that her husband was writing and on humility, which maybe the president should read after that little meme of him being Jesus healing people. But it was cute. You should take a look at the video of it. It's fun. Yeah. It's Trump. Trump just likes to have fun. You know, he just likes to rattle people's cages.
Well, and he's got a thing with McDonald's, so that's good.
Yeah, he does have a thing with McDonald's. I'm still not quite sure what that is, but it's certainly the common touch, right?
Wasn't that, but that was so brilliant in 24 when he did the what do you call it, the delivery window at McDonald's.
Yeah, and the drive-up. And he did the drive-up. He was working the drive-up window. It was great.
And they didn't tell people, so they drive up and holy smokes, it's up. It's Trump.
Yeah, I think they heard him through once you start noticing all the Secret Service guys around, you realize it's on the level, but I think they heard him first at the whatchamacallit, and they were like, it sounds like Trump, and they drive up and it's actually him, and he paid for all their food. And the whole setup of this was Kamala Harris talking about how she'd worked at McDonald's as a youth and understood working class people.
But she hadn't. McDonald's.
Well, nobody can find out that whether she did or not. It was a nothing burger until Trump just brilliantly used it. And so he's still doing the McDonald's thing. He did that during the first term, though. I mean, I think he had a football team over after a championship, and he had a whole buffet layout of McDonald's stuff.
Yeah. And I remember, this is not Trump, but you remember Billy May?
Billy May. The name sounds familiar.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, yes. The pitch guy, ShampWow guy. Yeah.
But he passed away. That was a tragic accident. But there are some things, I don't know if they're still there, but on YouTube where he drove up to McDonald's and at the remote, and he gave his order, and she said, "Okay, is that all?" And he said, "But wait, there's more."
Well, I mean, you know, and again, he's having fun. It's sort of a good time for him, and he was clearly having fun with this woman, even though I would guess she didn't vote for him. The maybe thing, if she voted for him, she probably would have said, "Yeah, I voted for you." So maybe, I think, is and he was fine. He just, you know, he just rolls with it, right?
Right. It's and the thing is, it adds
authenticity.
Yes, that's the word. Yeah. Authenticity. It there's no doubt that was Trump being Trump. It wasn't John Kerry pretending to be a regular guy.
Yeah, with the windsurfing thing, and yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then
John Kerry, yeah.
And then he was at a college thing, and he told him, he said, "Well, you know, if you can't make it in college, you can always join the military." Or something. I mean, it was a real put down of volunteer force. Anyway, I'll look that up. That sounds like fun. Sounds like Trump fun. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it sounds like Trump, and I would recommend checking it out. CBS News has only part of that. That's the stream that I found. I was looking for it right away because I wondered what I'd post about it. But I think that since that's been posted, there's been more. You can see the whole.
Yeah.
You know, you're the prince of Twitter. You should be able to find this on Twitter because it's.
I should be. Yeah.
So, but I mean, the whole thing is cute. It's a fun interaction. The presser itself was interesting. I will say for a couple of reasons. One is that Trump is saying that, once again, we've heard from the right people in Tehran that they want a deal after he announces the blockade, and not just announces the blockade, imposes a blockade. And this is, you know, the sort of the Uno reverse card that Trump has played on Iran. They were blocking shipping through the strait. So Trump just slapped a blockade on all Iranian shipping while clearing the strait and opening the strait for other ships. And he wanted to talk about the fact that 34 ships had gotten out over the last 24 hours, and there's still like 170 of them or 160 of them still backed up. But they're going to start trying to get those out now that the U.S. Navy is in place to deal with this. But he's talking about still wanting to cut a deal.
Oh, yeah. Let's get over that. That ship has sailed.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it ran into a blockade of Iranian stupidity in Islamabad, right? What was your sense of, I mean, I haven't talked to you since the whole thing went down with Vance in Islamabad, but my sense in this was that Vance was there. The Iranians actually asked for Vance to lead the negotiations because they didn't want to deal with Witkoff as the lead negotiator. And I think because they thought that Vance was going to be an easier, was going to be more of a pushover because Vance is reportedly not in favor of this military engagement. Well, Vance didn't put up with it for very long. He didn't stay even for a whole day before he walked out and said, "These guys aren't ready to deal. When they're ready to deal, they can call us." And walked out and flew back immediately back to Washington, D.C. My sense on that is Trump sent him specifically to make it look like he really wants a deal, and exactly. That the Iranians are the problem.
Yeah, I think they were checking a box there. I don't think anybody really expected anything to come from it. But if he hadn't done it, Trump has done several things that make it look like he's eager to do this, and you don't want to be eager to have a war. So he's mollifying the appearance of it. But now, if we go back into talks, it's the same sort of thing as Ukraine, where you sort of give them rope and say, "Okay, this is the last time." Well, but this is really the last time. So
yeah,
I don't know. It gets stretched out. There is another week left in the ceasefire, so you can use that for cover.
Well, and he did. He referenced that. Somebody asked him,
yeah,
what happens if this goes beyond your 2-week ceasefire? And he says, well, it's not going to be pretty for the Iranians if they do. But one thing about this, and I think that this is something I think people are starting to catch up to, is that this is actually a really smart move because it allows him to escalate. He could have gone straight to bridge and power plant day, which is what we've been calling his threat to, you know, take out these, take out those things. But instead a blockade is, at least at the start, is a nonviolent act. What you're saying is don't leave your ports and don't bring any ships into port. We're not going to allow anything to move. Now, that uses a threat of violence, but it isn't bombing anything, right? So you're not seizing Karg Island. You're not seizing Larak or Abu Masa Islands. And you're not bombing oil fields and gas fields and that kind of thing. You're just simply saying you can't sell a thing until you guys knock it off.
Right.
But from that point, he has other options for escalation. If the Iranians attack shipping, if the Iranians attack, I can't imagine that they're stupid enough to attack U.S. Navy ships operating in the Strait of Hormuz. But in case they're stupid enough to do that, you've got escalation options for that. You've still got the option of seizing the islands and all that kind of stuff. But it's incremental. So he went to Islamabad. Yeah. He did the ceasefire, went to Islamabad, even when Iran wasn't really abiding by the terms of the ceasefire, by maintaining that they weren't going to attack shipping that went through the strait. He abided by it and went to talk to them. They refused to negotiate on American terms. So he's imposed this blockade, which basically cuts off all of Iran's revenue, $450 million a day. That's still better than bombing the crap out of people. And he still has the option of bombing the crap out of people. It's a smart move.
Yeah, no, it is. You're absolutely right. Step by step by step. I think he's going to have to do something at some point. But then I thought that about Ukraine too. So we'll see how it gets stretched out.
Well, we're in the fight with Iran. I mean, this is our fight, ours and Israel's. We're in this fight. So yes, I think he's going to have to do something stronger than this. I think what he's hoping, and you know, I'm not going to claim I got some special Trump whisper insight into his thinking, but I think what he's hoping is that a few days of not getting any revenue in at all is going to be a tipping point for the IRGC. They can't pay their people. And the other key point is that China can't smuggle weapons in. We're going to board every single ship that's coming into Iran. And China now knows that. So anything that's smuggling contraband is probably going to turn around and go back to Beijing or wherever it came from. Yeah. But this is the way that you keep them from rebuilding too, that's the main route for resupply. I think that you can probably go through Afghanistan. If you're China, you can go through Afghanistan and maybe Pakistan, one or the other, on land routes, but I wouldn't want to go. I wouldn't be hauling weapons to either one of those two countries, frankly. No. And so Iran's kind of screwed. They're just kind of screwed. The only people they can get them from now is Turkey, and Turkey's a NATO member. As bad as Turkey is, they're still a NATO member. So they're not going to be shipping arms to them.
The North Atlantic Treaty Organization in the Middle East. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's NATO. I mean,
NATO wanted the Incirlik Air Base. So.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You can be in NATO. As long as he doesn't sell them F-35s, that's fine.
Well, F-35s without the IFF thing, right? I think until they get rid of the Russian air defenses, which turned out to be kind of useless anyway.
Yeah. But Russia's still building one or two nuclear power plants in Turkey, so they still have what's his name is still
Erdogan
he's a dangerous fellow.
Well, one of the interesting things that I heard today was that the Russians have completely evacuated the Iranian nuclear facility in Bushehr. They pulled all their people out now. Apparently they are convinced that
Something might happen.
Something's eventually going to happen, and this is a good time to leave. Hopefully they've shut the plant down before they did that. But all right, let's get to your column, because you have an interesting take about unexpected news. Some of which has to do with the war, some of which doesn't. And we got to talk about Swalwell, unexpected news, at some point. First, we want to talk about your column.
Yeah, I was struck by how many things are happening that you don't expect. You know, I mean, I won't go into all of them, but a prime example is that the Democrats get spanked in 2024 because they're so far left. They commission a report, an analysis of what went wrong, and by independent people, and it came out. It didn't come out, but obviously it contained things that were very embarrassing and things that they did not intend to change, which is staying far left. So they buried the report, and they're still staying far left. And the idea was, well, we'll come up with something new. And their new thing was, let's attack Trump. And to stall him, we're going to not pay security people at the airport. Okey-doke. Yeah. I mean,
in the middle of a war, by the way.
In the middle of a war, we're not going to allow pay to the people. You know, you said this a long time ago, how Trump in the second term, how Trump was so adept at forcing them, not forcing, but creating Democrats to go into the 20 side of the 80-20 formula.
Yeah.
They say, you know, no, we want illegal immigrants and they should vote. And we're not going to pay security people. And we're opposed to the war, and we're opposed to almost anything Trump does. You know, and then this is the unexpected. Well, shouldn't be, but it is. The media comes out and is predicting all over the place how well Democrats are going to do in the midterms this fall. Is it what? This doesn't follow. So there were several examples of that, and I wanted to go into them because it's like, say what? I found that striking. So I wrote about it, and it seems we've been extremely well received by readers. So that's good.
Well, as always, all your stuff is extremely well received by readers.
I wouldn't say that, but thank you.
I would. You are beloved, my friend. Beloved.
Oh yeah, the prince. Yeah.
Well, the prince. You are the prince of Twitter.
I'm royalty.
I'm merely the Statler to your Waldorf, or the other way around. Like I said, I can never.
Well, you're the tall one. I know.
I'm the tall one. Which one is the tall one, though? I don't know which one is which. That's part of the problem. I'm the tall one. All right. I want to apply this, though, some of the thinking in this, to what we learned about Eric Swalwell over the last few days, and what reporters have apparently known about Swalwell for more than a decade, which is that he's got a zipper problem, right? Eric Swalwell, of course, was infamously one of the leading, you know, spear carriers for the Democrats against Brett Kavanaugh, claiming that you got to believe all women. He's got all sorts of social media posts about that, by the way, which people are having all sorts of fun digging up at the moment. Also, very infamously, was the target of a Chinese intelligence operation, a honeypot operation with Christine Fang, whose nickname was Fang Fang, and that's how she's kind of known. Her actual name was Christine Fang, or at least her anglicized name was Christine Fang. And this has been known. I mean, that came out many moons ago. Yeah, this is not a new story, right? And yet, through all of this, journalists apparently knew that this guy was sending, you know, genitalia pics unsolicited to young women on Capitol Hill. He was importuning them. He was basically being a creepy predator. And now they're coming out and say, well, finally, it can be told, right? Oh, yes, we've all known about this, but it wasn't my beat, so I didn't report it.
Yeah, right.
Andrew, I mean, you're an old newsman, right? You're a newsman. Imagine a reporter came to you and the reporter was on the Metro beat, but he found out something about the congressman in the next thing over that he's sexually assaulting his aides. Would you say, oh, no, you can't report that. That's not your beat.
That's right.
Would you say
no.
that? No.
In the old days, no. But in the new days, yeah, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Did I say something, Ed?
You did. I actually had to step away for a second. I apologize. You said something and I walked off my own show. No, just kidding. I walked off my own show because I'm an idiot. I don't know. But please continue. I mean, this to me is...
No, it's outrageous. It's the same. It's the same thinking. It doesn't fit the narrative that they did protecting Biden.
Yes.
Sharp as a tack. No, he's not. And they knew that all along. And then people like Jake Tapper and others come out with books like, well, now it can be told. Why didn't you tell it when it was your job to report the news? Well, because they were afraid it would help Trump. Actually, Chuck Todd said this. They didn't jump on the story because the media thought it would help Trump. And that is against the media narrative. It's moved beyond disappointing to disgusting now. They have constitutional protections to be government watchdogs, and they're not. They're Democrat lapdogs.
Well, and I mean, this is what's so frustrating about this is that Swalwell was moving into a position to run for governor and probably would have won or at least would have been the highest vote getting Democrat. He may not have even made the ballot, though, just because of what's going on in California, just the weird situations going on in California, because there's 9 Democrats and 2 Republicans on this. And California has that stupid all in primary and only the top 2 vote getters get on the general election ballot. And it's at least possible this year that means that the 2 nominees for the job will be both Republican in a state that's, you know, 2/3 Democrat. It's hilarious. And this is where it gets really weird, or maybe not even weird, is corrupt. Everybody knew this about Swalwell, but until Democrats were at risk for not having a nominee, not having a slot on the fall ballot, and the primary is 3 weeks from now, by the way, suddenly all this starts coming out about Swalwell. And all of a sudden we're hearing, oh yeah, this has been going on for years. People have known about this for years, really. And yet the only time it came out is when sacrificing Swalwell might benefit the Democrat Party. Yeah. Tell me more.
It's disgusting. It's just disgusting. And as I said, I don't know how media is ever going to recover any credibility. They just can't. It's just too convenient. There's so many, these are the big ones, but there's so many little ones, like calling the proposed arch in Washington for the country's 250th birthday, calling it the Trump Arch, because that gets Trump in the headlines and that fits the narrative of making it look like he's full of himself, which he may be, but that's not the job of the media to throw that into everything. So, yeah, I, you know, you get to the point of like, oh, geez, there they go again. It's
yeah. This is the now it can be told genre again. Yeah. I mean, this was last year, right? This was just a year ago that reporters were coming out with books about the Biden thing and, you know, has pulling out of the election and we didn't realize this at the time, but everybody was talking about Biden's dementia. And you and I were talking about this with the now it can be told
forever.
Genre. Everybody knew this.
Old Twitter was censoring it.
Well, yeah, old Twitter, right? Old Twitter was censoring it. You couldn't talk about Biden's dementia, even though the guy was practically falling over on stage. And that's what, you know, this past week you had Democrats talking about the 25th Amendment because Trump is deranged or whatever the hell the argument is. You had Jamie Raskin on Friday hold a briefing on how to initiate the 25th Amendment. And if that briefing lasted longer than it took to pass out coffee and danishes, Raskin should be forced to pay rent out of his own pocket for that facility, because Congress doesn't have a role in the 25th Amendment. Has no role whatsoever. That has to be initiated by the vice president and the cabinet, or the president himself when the disability is temporary. But there is no role for Congress in that. Congress can't depose a president that way. They can do it through impeachment, but Democrats know they can't win an impeachment.
Yet. Yeah.
Well, even if they took control of the House of Representatives, they could do an impeachment, but they can't remove them. I mean, basically, it's just an expensive censure.
Right? That's right. They did it twice in the first term. And that fits their narrative. I mean, we get minute by minute coverage. Remember, Trump has left his apartment. Trump has arrived at the court.
Yeah.
Trump is this. I mean, it's
nonsense. It's nonsense. And Raskin's briefing on Friday was nonsense. It's performative. I get that.
That's it. Ed, you're full of good words this time.
Well, I'm full of something.
Performative.
I'm full of something. Just ask my wife. I'm full of something.
You're full of eight-letter barnyard epithet. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah. But I expect a certain amount of performative energy from politicians, because politics is theater. It is. I don't expect performative from the media, right? And that's what we're seeing with Biden's dementia. That's what we were seeing then. And now we're seeing it all over again with Swalwell. And these people are still wondering why people don't trust them. The explanation of, well, I knew all about this, but I was on the foreign policy beat, and so I didn't really have anything to say about it. This is from a reporter, by the way, who actually exposed Swalwell's relationship with Christine Fang.
Who is that?
Oh, I have it up in my, up in my tabs and I can't think of who it is. Okay. I'll look it up in just a second, because I think I have it in tonight's final word segment. And she's been all over Twitter arguing that it wasn't up to her to report it because Congress wasn't her beat. But she's the one who actually did expose the Fang scandal and says, hey, I did this. You should trust me because I did this. And it's like, I'll tell you who it is in just a second, but it's like, the reason why we don't trust you is because you think that there's something different. Bethany Allen, I think is her name.
Bethany Allen.
Bethany Allen. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just,
she would like to be. And she maybe could have been, but then she would have been ostracized by her narrative following colleagues.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I get that too. I mean, you want to be in good graces with your colleagues, I guess. But,
you know, that's the thing. I spent some time in Washington early in my career, and that's when I decided, and I actually had to fight sometimes to not go be sent to Washington, because it's packed journalism. It always has been, and it always will be. It's the swarm. Somebody says something, and then they swarm over here. It's so rote. In Congress, I mean, who cares? Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, you know, And then when you do have a story, you don't run it because you,
it's not your beat.
I mean,
the same thing with whose beat was it on Hunter's laptop? It wasn't anybody's beat. Oh, I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah, no, this is Russian disinformation. Joe Biden told us so.
Yeah.
And they
couldn't get that on old Twitter either.
Yeah. Well, that was actually one of the things that Elon Musk fixed when he bought it. So yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we're just about out of time. We've kind of griped about the world long enough, I think.
I've got two jokes.
I've got two for you as well. So I'll let you go first with your two.
Okay. Well, one of them is sort of a dad joke. And that is, you know, a lot of people think that Tyrannosaurus Rex can't applaud at concerts because his arms are too short. But it's really because they're all dead.
Yeah, that's kind of a dad joke. I like it though. I like dad jokes.
Yeah, I like that one. And the other one is that this is an old one, Jimmy Fallon, that a British student has invented a dress that lights up when your cell phone rings. The dress that lights flash. And of course, another way is to answer it when it rings. You know, what do we need all this stuff
for? It's a good point. It's a good point. You know, on the subject of dad jokes, I got to say, I saw somebody wrote something, or I think I saw it in writing, but it may have been something that somebody said. It says, you know why dads tell dad jokes? When your father was single, he was the funniest guy in the world. He told these raunchy, great jokes. He had people rolling in the aisles. Then he had kids.
Yeah.
And realized he had to stop telling funny jokes. And this is a reason why he tells dad jokes. So just
appreciate it. There's a meme where, seriously, little real kids are interviewed by an interviewer. And it's that if you've been a victim of dad jokes, you may be entitled to compensation.
I think I've seen that. It's actually really good. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Where kids say, I told my father I was hungry. And he said, hello, hungry. I'm dad.
And it has the sad music playing in the background. It's great. Yes, I remember this now. It's actually great.
The kid is just crushed. Listen,
So good. All right, okay, I got a couple jokes for you.
I hope they're not smutty.
They are not smutty today. I can say that. So the first one is Donald Trump is walking out of the Oval Office to pick up his DoorDash order from McDonald's. Actually, that's not part of the joke, but Donald Trump's walking out of the White House, headed toward the limo, when this guy with a gun pops up and aims it at him. And a Secret Service agent screams, Mickey Mouse! And the assassin is so startled, he drops his weapon and they swarm around him. They carry him off. And later on, the supervisor comes up to the Secret Service agent and says, why did you yell Mickey Mouse? He says, well, I got nervous and I really wanted to say Donald Duck. Yeah, that one's kind of a dad joke. That one's sort of a dad joke. So, all right, this is the second one. Middle-aged guy's out to dinner with his wife, right? And celebrating the 40th birthday. And he says, look, honey, what would you like? What would you like me to get you? Would you like a Jaguar, a sable coat, a diamond necklace? What would you like me to get you? She says, honestly, what I really want is a divorce. And he goes, my goodness, I wasn't really planning to spend that much.
Those are good, Ed.
Jokes of the day.net. Those were at the top, the two at the top of the page too. I thought they're both on the one screen. It's like I don't even need to scroll. Those are the two I want to go with right there. Yeah, those were good.
Yeah, right there. Those are good. Those are good. Yeah.
Oh, duck. All right. Well, You don't have to duck us. We're here once a week. We try not to wear our welcome.
A Secret Service, this is a true anecdote. Many years ago, actually, Lyndon Johnson was president. And I was at the White House for, it was Harold Wilson, British Prime Minister, was landing in a helicopter. And was in the back there where, you know, the Truman, porch is. And so the helicopter was coming in and so on. And the Secret Service was going around. And I was standing, one Secret Service guy was standing next to me. And the other, another one came up to him. It was a little girl holding flowers. And the Secret Service agent said, "Have you checked the little girl?" And I thought, I mean, of course they would have to, but I it was just so funny. As all this big international thing coming on, and they wanted the little girl holding bouquet and flowers. And she, these days, of course, she could be wired, and a bomb could be an AI bomb. Anyway,
could be. Yeah. I mean,
we'll be back next week.
We will be back next week with more AI bombs, bad jokes, dad jokes, yeah. I should say, not bad jokes, dad jokes, and all of the news that's unfit to print right here at the Ed Morrissey Show.
It should have been printed.
Should have been printed. Drew Malcolm, the Prince, Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com. Until next week, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Ed. See you, everybody.